Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
Will Nashville interstates have tolls to them soon, and will that affect traffic flow?
Nashville's Metro Council is concerned over one new road on the East Bank.
Plus, Mayor Cooper chats with the Tennessean about beer.
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily.
Good morning, Nashville.
Good morning. It's not as cold as I thought it was going to be this morning. It was supposed to be like 20s and...
It's 27.
It wasn't too bad.
Right now. I walked outside. I'm like, I could have wore shorts in this. And then
it's a warm 20.
This is the first time like wearing pants voluntarily, except for like jobs.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah. I put on a long sleeve this morning. I'm like, it's going to be chilly. And then I wore it around my house. I'm like, I hate this. I'm not wearing this.
You know what Nashvillians might not be doing voluntarily soon?
Paying for... Going downtown?
Or having a free ride on the interstates.
Yeah.
This is coming from News Channel 5 from a few days ago. This is last week. TDOT explores the possibility of converting HOV lanes. Oh, did we have those?
Supposedly.
What are those? Do we use those?
They're high occupancy vehicles. So that means if you have one or two passengers, you can be technically in that lane. And they're supposed to enforce this, but they don't enforce this at all.
I remember when I first moved to Nashville and I saw those and I was like, oh, this is like Atlanta. No, we don't enforce it.
And so if we enforced it, maybe we would have less congestion in areas, but... We don't enforce it.
I feel like when I first moved, it was people were at least
cautious of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I agree.
Like we're trying to.
I think they were relatively new at that time. So I think they were painted on 65 and 44 or 40 and 24 around 2010, I think.
Okay. So they were relatively new compared to them being a decade old now. So it's interesting, but you know, definitely nobody cares about them now. But now, according to News Channel 5, the Tennessee Department of Transportation, it's a lot of three and four letter words here, TDOT is exploring the possibility of converting these high occupancy vehicles or HOV lanes to high occupancy toll or HOT lanes,
hot lanes. It's like hot chicken, but hot lanes.
TDOT is contracted with Tennessee State University and Vanderbilt University to conduct the study, which aims to explore the feasibility of alternative systems to the existing HOV lanes. One possible alternative would be to convert HOV lanes to HOT lanes.
Hot lanes.
On the outbound and inbound HOV corridors for Interstate 65, 24, and 40 in Nashville. This would be similar to, I've been to Kansas two times. They have like a K tag, where you pay a toll or you have a tag and go straight through the toll.
Are you putting a tag on your hat?
No, you put it on your car.
Oh, okay.
What if you don't wear hats?
I don't know.
You put it on your car and, you pay, every time that you pass through. That way you don't have to, stop for the toll. You still have to slow down through these areas. But I would imagine it would be similar to Atlanta in their structure of their tag, where it doesn't actually interrupt the traffic flow. You just know that if you go in a certain lanes, you take certain shortcuts, then you are paying that toll, whether or not you have the tag or it will get you by your license plate. But it's not going to actually slow down the flow of traffic. According to Vanderbilt, back in the article, hot lanes are used to promote ride sharing and reduce congestion by charging a variable fee to those who are not meeting the requirements of the HOV lanes. Vanderbilt and Tennessee HOV lanes are currently underused during peak times, and drivers consistently violate the rules for their use. They added that the studies of Google traffic data and traffic simulation shows that outbound and inbound HOV corridors for Interstate 65, 24, and 40 in Nashville experience daily bottlenecks during peak travel time. You don't say.
I was going to say something way worse, but don't say is a lot better. Researchers said a previous study showed that the violation rates for HOV lanes in Middle Tennessee are 80 to 90%, and typically peak time use rates are 15 to 20%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of violation, but there's little use.
Use in peak times. Exactly sure what they what they mean, but like the amount of people who are actually using it with two or more people in the car is probably just by luck that two, three, four people happen to be in the car.
Yeah.
For those actual times that it's being used correctly. I don't think anybody cares that it's an HOV lane.
They just want to get home.
They just have multiple people in a car.
So I think Dallas does this pretty well. They have like a toll lane that the rates change based on the amount of traffic.
Interesting.
And I've heard it can get very expensive. Like to use some of these toll lanes are up to $20, like for things, because it's the amount of traffic on it, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's really fascinating. It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out, but tomorrow, we have maybe some exciting news that this may not even be relevant with some future transportation coming to Nashville.
Well, and, you know, it sounds, you know, $20 sounds relatively expensive, but then...
But if you think about it...
Then in the big picture, it's not that expensive compared to... Tennesseans reporting on this, compared to maybe a road that might cost $50 million. Now you see why tolls
exist. A very small road
might cost $50 million. You're like, oh, now I understand why they have tolls for highways. The Tennesseans reporting on this. This is happening over in the East Bank, that kind of new development area where Oracle's coming in, River North, and a bevy of basically everything new is coming into this area. But this one has Metro Council a little bit on their feet here. The proposal for a new $50 million north-south primary boulevard on Nashville's East Bank hinges on Metro Council's approval of a partnership with the state and a $25 million capital spending agreement. But the members of Metro Council did not learn of the partnership until Monday, and Mayor John Cooper's recently released capital spending plan contains no specific mention of the $25 million apparently allocated for the project.
So this project, as Aaron said, somebody somewhere forgot to turn in this page. Like, hey, we need $25 million for this. So as Aaron said, this project's going to be about $50 million. The state of Tennessee is going to give $25 million. Metro Nashville, if they approve this in December, will also be giving $25 million. But the biggest concern, as Aaron mentioned, is these Metro Council members realized, like, this is not in the capital spending plan at all. And this is a very small area of this road. So the executive director, Lucy, I'm going to mess up her name. Is it Kempf?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She is the executive director of the Metro Nashville Planning Department. She said the construction is primarily in north southbound boulevard between Spring Street and Woodland Streets is necessary to provide the type of housing, mixed use development, bus service, bike accessibility, and sidewalks the community requested during the ongoing months long East Bank planning study. I actually have this on Google Maps.
Yeah. Between the East and Woodland?
Between Spring and Woodland.
Really?
This is very small.
Yeah.
So right here, you have Jefferson Street that turns into Spring Street, and then Woodland Street's right here.
So where's the road supposed to go?
Somewhere in between these.
Because there's a road between Woodland and Spring.
So I think like right here, maybe. I don't know exactly. They don't have any maps or details on this Tennessean article.
This is interesting.
But, like, it's a very small area that's going to cost a lot of money to build this road.
Yeah, I mean, I live on off of Woodland. I can get from Woodland to Spring Street.
You could walk to Spring Street.
Yeah. And I can get there fairly easily. So I'd be interested. They don't have a mention.
I wonder if it's going to be like path. There's no way it could be right here because there's too much interstate.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily make sense. The only way
they expanded this boulevard.
The only way it would make sense is if you go off of. I'm going to have to use your mouse. If you go right here, there is like
a little road.
Where's this? This is Main. No, those are railroads.
So Main Street's going to be down.
This is Main Street, right?
No, that's the railroads. So that's Main
this
Street.
This is Main Street right here.
Keep going down one more. That's Main Street. So that turns into Main Street.
Okay, so Main Street has this part that goes down. So this road right here, goes down and under Main Street to go back up to Ellington. And so I'm wondering if they're planning something either. I bet they're planning something from underneath because... Underneath the bridge of the interstate and Spring Street, to go to Woodland, I guess, that travels similarly from the interstate. I don't know. It's very interesting.
Well, if I come down to here, this Travel America area, that's going to be gone in 2 or 3 years. That's going to be potentially 13 different buildings. And then there's just a bunch of factories here and parking lots over here in this side. So it's going to be really interesting where this actual...
And it says it's north-south. So, I mean, we're guessing on the right...
We're guessing the right area.
In the right kind of ways here, so yeah, it's very interesting.
But we won't have more details about this until probably mid-December.
Yeah, so Kemp said that the area is currently deeply disjointed. It's a deeply disjointed street network.
It is.
It would make transportation items hard to deliver. So I guess, you know, it may primarily be for delivery, construction, and making sure that the success of the East Bank is really happening because of those things. Definitely wouldn't the area where the truck stop is. I mean, those roads aren't the best.
Oh, they're awful.
So I understand that. But it looks like they still need to come to an agreement. Documents detailing the partnership agreement indicate that Metro would need to acquire 6 parcels to complete the project's first phase. Any property acquisition decisions related to the project ultimately fall to the Metro Council should it receive approval. The project's estimated completion date is January 15th, 2024. The Budget and Finance Committee voted to recommend the approval of the TDOT partnership after extensive deliberation, but not without reservations. At large, council member Bob Mendez said that Cooper's administration and their total lack of disclosure of the proposal in the Capitol's spending plan was, quote, nonsense. Council member Tanaka Vircher said she would prefer to vote on the partnership after considering the Capitol spending plan, which the council slated to review at its December 7th meeting. So we still have a little bit more to go before we kind of figure out what the fate of this road actually looks like, as well as the capital spending plan as a whole.
Yeah, we'll figure this out in early December with all of you guys.
Yeah. All right. So, Stuart, where have you eaten locally here in Nashville?
I've eaten at my house. That's where I've eaten locally.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I have had some coffee and... over at LTC, right?
Land of a Thousand Hills. So LTH.
LTH. Yes. I can never remember what that's called. LTH.
Well, because isn't there another LTC coffee shop in town?
I'm not sure. I recently went to LTH, and normally, the past couple times that I've been, it's been extremely busy.
Yeah.
Like, can't find a table there.
Or a parking spot.
Or parking.
That's the biggest thing is the parking
spot. I pulled in yesterday, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's tons of parking. Are they closed? Like, what is happening? And no, they were open, and there was like almost every table available, and it was fantastic. I got their house coffee, which I love their house coffee because you can just get as many refills as they want. That way, if I'm working there and my coffee goes cold, like I don't have to buy another one, just get a hot refill of coffee there. And I just get regular hot black coffee. And then I got their sausage biscuit croissants are absolutely incredible. Their croissants are just like fresh.
Didn't they change it last week where you had like the waffle sandwich?
Yeah, it was embedded in a waffle bread thing.
Oh, that's
last time. And it was really good.
Did it have maple syrup in the waffle thing?
Like no maple syrup.
Okay.
You know, maybe I could have asked for it, but didn't necessarily think about it, but it's beginning to. I mean, they have tons of room in there. They don't have as many outlets as I wish they would have.
They're on the floor.
Oh,
they're all floor outlets.
Oh,
yeah. So if you sit by like those couches in the middle, there's 2 floor outlets.
That's what it is. Yep. That's what it is. They're hidden, but LTH out in Charlotte Pike. It's really it's a great coffee shop here in Nashville. All right, let's head over to Explorer's Nashville Tip of the Day.
For For Explorers Nashville tip of the day, it's a great day to have breakfast and one of the best places
every
to do that.
Every day's a fantastic day to have breakfast.
That's true. But one okay, of the best
where's,
places...
Where's a good place for today?
One of the best places to do that is a restaurant in Berry Hill called Funky Griddle. The restaurant is super unique. There's actually griddles inside of every table, so you're able to cook a majority of your own food, like the eggs, the hash browns, the pancakes, a few of the sausage items and stuff they have to make in the actual kitchen. But it's a very unique place where you can make your own delicious pancake. Their pancake batter is out of this world delicious. Their coffee is mediocre. I'm just being honest about that. It really is.
Yeah.
But their pancakes are fantastic. Their sausage biscuit and gravy combination is great. Their eggs are great because you get to cook them yourself.
You get to cook them your own way.
You can do them fried, whatever you want to do. And it's just a really unique place. We featured this restaurant in our top 2020 restaurant video. You can check that out on our YouTube channel, xplr.nash.
Yeah, so the Funky Griddle, it really is fantastic. Usually, I will get the whole wheat pancakes are actually really, really good there. I love the batter, super thick.
I like their batter so much, I bring it home sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And if you want a good experience where you can really have fun with the people that you're with, cook breakfast. It's a great kind of community feeling there, cooking around kind of like a small kitchen area for you and a few people. Don't bring like 20 people because it's like more tables of three or four.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's more for smaller groups. But if you're looking for a very community breakfast atmosphere, Funky Griddle is a great place for that. All right, and that is Explorers Nashville tip of the day.
Today's episode of Nashville Daily is brought to you by Screen Threads. If you're looking for Nashville-themed merchandise, look no further. Our listeners can use the code NASHVILLEDAILY, get 10% off their next online order or in-person visit. You can find them inside of Marathon Village or at thescreenthreads.com.
Also, I will say this. There are people out here who are still exploring the waterfalls in the very, very edges of the fall season in Nashville. We still get questions about the waterfalls all the time about Middle Tennessee. We have people texting in asking about it. If you want to, there's still a few days left, I think, in the 60s to maybe go explore some Tennessee waterfalls. If that's you, if you still and want
you
to
can
explore,
still explore them in the cold.
Yeah, you yeah. can. You do.
I do all the time.
But if that sounds like you still want to explore Tennessee's waterfall before the year is up, you can text us at 615-392-1358. You can actually text the word waterfall to 615-392-1358. If you want to see what our favorite waterfalls are for Middle Tennessee in this area, text waterfall to 615-392-1358.
So last week we talked about these new proposals that are coming in for transportation vehicles in Nashville. Some of those proposals were bring your own beer regulations to these party vehicles. And then there was another proposal for a 1 square mile area or a 1 mile route where these entertainment vehicles can travel in downtown Monday through Friday.
Yeah, a lot of them are getting similar regulations to what the pedal taverns are now have experienced for a little while. When we talked about those, you can go in our archives and check out that episode, nationaldailypodcast.com. But in that article, there's a video where Cooper rarely does this happen where Cooper will like, you know, talk with a news outlet for, you know, a small sit down interview for a small extended period, just a couple minutes. But, you know, we had talked about on that episode, go listen to it on our archives, nationaldailypodcast.com, about this is a huge PR thing.
It's episode for the city. 687.
This is a huge PR thing for the city. So this is why Cooper's sitting down to talk about this. He wants to send the message out. Hey, we're going to make sure drunk people aren't falling off of wagons, pretty much. They're putting on the full court press for that image. Here's a little bit of the video. We'll play the video. This is from the Tennessean. We'll talk about this. I'm going to see, we're trying a new way of getting this, so I'm going to make sure that I can get this working. Hey, yo, we may have some success here.
We may have a lot of success.
This mouse is on a delay.
Yep.
See that. I got to make sure that volume's up.
All right. Here is Mr. Cooper.
The use has been changed downtown to having hundreds of thousands of more visitors in a downtown that was never really planned for that level of load to it. I mean, these horses were really designed, the streets were really designed for horses.
He's talking about horses.
It's not just horse-drawn transportation. This is actually for horses. So it's hard to have a transition. It's been comparatively recently that you've gone from hardware stores then to a central.
Is he just now saying that we're transitioning from horses to transportation? That's what he said. He said we're transitioning from horses to transportation.
No, I think more or less it was the concept of the original streets were designed for horses.
He was, but he said we're transitioning.
We're transitioning from horses to
trying to draw that, like, hey, there's been no middle ground. We've never gone from horses to anything else. We're going straight from horses to transportation.
There's
here.
Still horses in downtown because they do the horse carriages.
There are, but to say that there's been no middle is...
Yeah.
...actually vacant in lower Broadway, now to hundreds of thousands of people.
Right,
so
no middle.
There's going to be a lag in that kind of infrastructure, but now is a good moment to partner with the industry and the city to come up with better plans. You know, downtown is an ecosystem.
Is he holding a mask?
There's live, he is. Work, oh. Play going
I can't
on
see it because of my the camera's right in front of him.
Need to respect the ecosystem and make that be a vibrant, healthy environment for everybody concerned. Now, when Pinnacle Bank, you know, our by far our largest bank, I think now, leaves the building bearing its own name, you know, you have a problem.
That's very interesting because, first off, Pinnacle is the largest bank in the state of Tennessee. They have the most assets per bank in the state. But there's something new and better coming on the horizon. This is Nashville Yards.
Yeah, I really, personally, I don't talk with the CEO of Pinnacle, but... Nashville, they moved into Nashville Yards. They had the opportunity to move somewhere that's going to be an incredible space for them.
Yeah.
Get their name closer to the interstate.
Yep.
And get in a shiny new building. And Cooper's acting like they're leaving downtown because
of the
they
party
hate
vehicles.
It. It's just it's
really interesting.
I don't buy
because
it.
Like, well, Pinnacle, like, I think with this move to the Nashville Yards is very strategic because of all of the development happening in Midtown. They may be over a lot of those assets in Midtown or getting those loans, and so they want to see, like, what's happening in their city. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think he's looking for an excuse to say that people are leaving downtown because of the party buses.
I don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's a very strong argument for it.
Ryman Hospitality, which is a signature hospitality name for downtown Nashville, when they feel like we have a problem, you have a problem.
Effective Do they feel like it?
Would again
yeah,
not
we don't
allow
know.
The level of public drunkenness that people in Nashville routinely see, right? And then the public safety ends up being deeply part of that. Now, effective regulation could well require the state action. Now, we have been defeated a couple of times at the state in efforts to regulate. But I continue to be hopeful for several reasons. One is that legislators are legislating for their own hometowns, too. So in modern Tennessee, it is not just Nashville. So it is the Smoky Mountains, it is Knoxville, it's Memphis, it is Chattanooga. Franklin had moved decisively on this.
Can we pause that? So
Franklin moved to do what?
Decisively ban party vehicles. So this was a controversy during the peak of the pandemic, and what ended up happening is because of regulations that Nashville had with the amount of people that can gather at one time, the party vehicles started going down to Franklin. And
that's right.
Immediately, Williamson County said, no, we're not having this.
You gotta like, go, they're you like, gotta, are you kidding me?
You got to go back to Nashville. It was really
back
crazy.
Back it up. Go back down 65.
Back it up, Terry. Back it up, Terry. But it was really fascinating because, like, I think I was down in Cool Springs, and I'm like, there's a party bus down here. This is awful.
They are lost.
They're like passing, like, the Chick-fil-A in Cool Springs, and I'm like, what is happening? This is Franklin. This is not Nashville. But this all happened, and it happened very fast because of the regulations on the amount of people that can gather in Nashville. So ultimately, they moved down to Williamson County because of what happened in Nashville.
Yeah. No, I don't blame them for shutting that down.
Yeah, they shut it down like within like 3 days.
Franklin is it's like Nashville is known for Broadway and city, and Franklin is known for the best small town in America.
Also, some of the harshest regulations for construction in the country.
Yeah, because of the noise, right?
Well, the noise, but the Walmart down there is one of the most expensive Walmarts in the country because it was hand-laid brick.
Yeah. If you go through Franklin's downtown, you understand they have a common theme and a common look among their everything that's down there. But if I was in Franklin, I'd probably shut that down too. Just doesn't fit the theme.
But what they should do is a Civil War party bus in Franklin, and it's Civil War ghost stories in downtown Franklin. But you're party bus, you're partying with the Civil War ghost.
Oh my gosh, I have so many things that I could say, but I am not going to. Let's just keep going.
So I think there's actually broad agreement if everybody accepted to do what's right for your own hometown, and that you would have a regulatory platform to have effective regulation. And effective regulation means that in the end, it's really just not that noticeable. It's something that happens in Nashville, but it is not sort of this flagrant in-your-face kind of violation of norms that I think citizens end up having. Now, if the industry does not embrace that, there are methods of regulating that would be more draconian. So the absolute prohibition of open containers everywhere all the time, I think that option is...
We already have that. Open containers, well, except in vehicles.
Well, and red Solo cups.
Yeah.
There's certain bylaws.
That's right. Metro and would have to be considered if there was not effective regulation created.
Okay, so that's from the Tennessean.
It's interesting. I do think there needs to be some type of regulation on party vehicles. I don't think they're as an eyesore as much because all the people I talk to, they're like, wow, that looks really fun.
I mean, and not everybody. I think there's I think there's a good mix of people who think that it's dumb and think that it's fun. But it's the same thing about Broadway, as a whole. There's a lot of people who think it's super fun. There's a lot of people who think that it's super dumb and would never go down there. But that necessarily doesn't mean that just because people are loud and wild that it needs to be shut down. If that were the case, Broadway as a whole would be shut down.
Yes, because it's breaking noise ordinances all over the place. The thing I would say regulation-wise needs to happen for the party vehicles, I don't think they should be going into these little small neighborhoods as much. I think they should strictly stay downtown. And if they're in the neighborhoods, I think they need to regulate the amount of sound coming from their vehicles. Because sometimes you're driving in 12 South and you see a party vehicle and you're like, it is way too loud for this neighborhood. And I think those need to be the regulations that we need to be talking about.
Well, and to me, having those slower speeds going in at further past downtown don't necessarily make a lot of sense because I think they have to stay below 15, a certain miles per hour. And when you bring those out into past downtown, it doesn't make... When you're downtown, everybody's going that speed anyway.
Yeah.
But when you're past downtown, it causes a little bit of congestion. We've definitely seen that with pedal taverns in the past. And these party buses going down Demumbrian, going to the area of close to Midtown. And it's just slowing everything down on Demumbrian. Same with pedal taverns. But once you keep them in the area of downtown, which already goes at that pace... That speed makes more sense.
Yep.
And the noise, containing that to the downtown area as well, I think is a fairly good idea. I don't think that just because, a lot of people don't like the image that it brings for Nashville, some people may love the image that it brings for Nashville. And so I think there's going to be a lot of disagreement on this for a very, very long time.
Yep.
And, it was probably the same. I almost wish that I was, paying that close of attention when Pedal Tavern started coming into Nashville. If this kind of debate was happening at the time, I'm sure it was.
It was. I remember them basically saying, hey, you can only have this amount of vehicles, you can only drive during these times when peak traffic is in play, you can't drive.
Yeah.
You can only have these amount of people. They regulated pedal taverns very fast.
Yeah. Here's what I'm all in favor of making sure that Nashville is keeping the people on the buses safe.
Yep.
And the only part that I think would be a noise problem in downtown is past the school. Yep. In downtown Nashville. That I totally agree with.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, once you make sure that no noise ordinances are being violated outside of downtown, once you make sure that everybody is safe and like they're not having bad practices for letting people on roofless vehicles, then I think that like leave them alone as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, outside of making sure those things are happening, that people are safe. I think they should be left alone a little bit more.
This is my proposal for party vehicles. Contact the state of Tennessee and see if you can use all of their parking lots around Nissan Stadium.
There you go.
And you just have a route going around these parking lots, and it's like 20 party vehicles all following each other.
There you go. We just make a studio with images on the wall that constantly change, and people are just in a
it's just LED
a
screens
bus with constantly changing scenes. Yeah. There you go.
So tomorrow we're talking about the interstates a little bit more and what a highway cap will look like over some of the interstates.
Ooh, that should be very interesting.
Do you know what a highway cap is, Aaron?
Oh, we're about to learn tomorrow.
We're going to learn tomorrow. It's really fascinating.
There you go. Let us know what you think. 615-392-1358 about these party buses. We'll talk about the interstate cap tomorrow. See you then.
Thanks for listening to Nashville Daily. You can check us out over on Instagram at xplr.nash, as well as our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. For Nashville merch, we have you covered as well. Find that at xplr.life.
You can also text us at 615-392-1358. And for more exclusive content, head over to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. Nashville Daily is produced right here in the great city of Nashville. So if you like what we're doing, please give this podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends.